What a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord with you again today. And I feel the Spirit of the Lord in this house. I have multiple goals when I come to the pulpit. And one of them is that I can always say that whatever I'm fixing to preach is truly the Word of God. In that, I could say the Lord wants to talk to us about this subject today. Or to be able to say this is the Word of God to you. More than just my thoughts and my opinions, I want to deliver the mind of God. I want to be the voice of God. Another thing that I always seek to do, I always want to be able to say, as Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And I'm telling you today, I feel the Spirit of the Lord upon me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't always have the choice of the measure of the Spirit of the Lord upon us. He's got a certain touch and anointing for the various works that He does. But I do feel the help of the Holy Ghost in my heart today, and I'm grateful for it. God bless you. You can be seated for just a moment. Let me say that it's been truly an honor and a joy to be here. And the Townleys have been blessed. Thank you for the nice accommodations, for the beautiful room. It's the nicest that I've had anywhere at any camp. And thank you for it. They always provide a beautiful basket, and it doesn't stay wrapped up tight for much more than a few minutes in my room, because that's something the children anticipate and we do ourselves. And we appreciate the nice basket and all of the kind hospitality that you've shown to us throughout this week. God bless you, from the ministry all the way down to you, the saints of God, have been so kind and so complimentary. Thank you. Let me just say a special thank you to the steering committee for the opportunity to be here. And I really, really love and appreciate Brother Tim Johnson, Pastor Tim Johnson, and Pastor Thrasher, Pastor Weeks, Pastor Wood, and Elder Bishop Johnson. We still haven't got Elder Johnson to Jennings, but it ain't off my mind, and we're not out yet. We're going to get there. And we look forward to being able to spend more time with these good brothers through the years. And let me say I love and appreciate them very, very much. All of the other pastors and my friends who are here, God bless you. I love you and appreciate you very much. And if you will, you can go ahead and stand with me and we'll get to the Word of the Lord. I certainly appreciate having been able to be teamed up with Brother Jason Calhoun. And he is a friend that I admire and I respect and appreciate. And as I've said in other ways before, a man that I somewhat envy. I wish I was always as prepared as he is and able to preach the Word of the Lord as he does. And it's always an honor to be able to be invited to preach at a camp or wherever, but to be teamed up with somebody that you know is going to have the same heart, the same desire, and same spirit, and same passion, it's an added blessing to feel like we can just team up and work together. And I don't know when I've seen a conference or a camp just flow, the Word of the Lord just flow with a theme. God has certainly had a word for this camp. And even all the way up to last night, the message preached by Brother Calhoun was such a blessing. And I appreciate what the Lord spoke through him last night. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 14 and verse 7. And I'm going to tell you today, I'm going to preach a message I've never preached before. And I'm going to preach a message that the Lord has just given to me beginning yesterday. But I do feel like God has a word that, matter of fact, I didn't even know what all it was. It just, I had a couple words staying on my mind, and And so I had a couple messages that I came with that I thought I might would preach. And obviously, the Lord has different plans today. And that's always good. Whatever God wants is always good. Amen. Romans chapter 14 and verse 7. For none of us, everybody say none of us. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Again, the key word of this conference seems to have been change. I want to talk to us today about effecting spiritual change. Effecting spiritual change. Let's pray the will of the Lord with this message today. God, you're wonderful.
Submit to your authority, God, to your rule and to your reign. Hallelujah. Oh. And what you want to do in this place today, God, touch every heart, touch every soul, touch every mind, every spirit, God. I want you to bring about a great change. I want you, God, to do a mighty work in us here through the power of the Holy Ghost, through the operation, God, of your presence. Oh, God, I believe in the effectual working of your spirit. Work in this place today. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. That's it. Go ahead. Let's just praise the Lord. Entertain the presence of God in this place. Hallelujah. 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 I love your name, I love your name, I love your name, I love your name, I love your name. You're awesome, God, you're awesome, God, you're awesome, God. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Romans 14 and 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. No matter how secluded we become, no matter how recluse we become, or how much of a recluse we become, no matter how much we pull back from society, no matter how much we try to get alone in life, there's no way to live without making an impact. And there's no way to live without being impacted. All are influenced, and all become an influence. We have to make the choice of whether the influence that we will make on life and others will be a positive influence, or the influence we make on others will be a negative influence. We don't always have power and control over people's influence of us. In that we can't control their actions. We can't control their attitudes. We can have an effect on them that will in turn have positive dividends for us. In that, if we'll sow kindness, we can reap kindness. So we do reap what we sow in relations to people. But always we're not able to determine the actions that people are going to take towards us, nor the attitudes that they have towards us. And so we don't have total power and control over others' influence of us in that how they're going to treat us and handle us and talk to us. And I can tell you this, although we have no control over how they're going to handle us and treat us, we can determine the ultimate effect of that in our lives. We can take the trouble and we can, through the grace of God, turn it to good. Even if it's just that we are learning from people the way not to be, there's something that we can learn from our relations with them. We can take the lemons, as people say, that life gives us, and we can make lemonade out of it. Through the grace of God, we can take those situations that we have no control over that impact us and influence us and turn it for good. It can really happen, young people, that the days that you hate can be days that you look back and say, you know what? I see something good that God did through that situation. I gave my life to God and God was able to work a miracle. Amen. I can take the pain and the hurt and the sorrow and God can turn it to gold and good things in my life. We all influence and we are all influenced. So I believe what the Lord wants to challenge this group today to do is to effect positive spiritual change in our world. We are all agents of change. We come into this world and we change the world. We affect the world. We have an effect. We become a force in this world. We are a living being. We move, we act, we talk, we think. We have a spirit. We impact our world. Everybody does it. Even if you feel like you're a nobody today, can I tell you, I want you to know you are having an impact on your world. Because if you go through life with that attitude, I'm a nobody and I'm nothing and nobody cares about me. Guess what? You're affecting this world with that spirit and that attitude. And everybody around you says, oh, they feel like they're a nobody. That's what they come to know about you in life. And then can I tell you, we all are a force. We're a living being and we have potential and we affect our world. I want God to help me to use my life for His glory, His praise, and His honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can I tell you, we're going to be a cause for something. We're going to be committed to a cause. We're going to be committed to a purpose. What do you say? Let's commit ourselves afresh and a new way to bringing Christ and His kingdom to this world. Let's initiate change. Let's initiate change. Let's go about life as Jesus did. The Bible said He went about doing good. Let's be a difference maker in this world. And not just a difference maker in this world. Let's be an agent of spiritual change for the glory of the Lord. By God's grace, let's determine in our hearts that we're going to be the vessel, the instrument, the tool that God has willed us to be in life. My youth group's not going to be the same. My church is not going to be the same. When I draw my last breath and my casket is laid before the pulpit, I want it to be said that He made a difference. Purpose in your heart, young people, that by God's grace, I'm going to be a light and a testimony for the glory of God. I'm going to affect my world spiritually for the glory of God. I'm not just going to be a carnal, physical human being, but I'm going to be a force filled with the power of God, with the glory of God, the anointing of God, and the touch of God upon my life. I'm going to affect positive spiritual change in my world. The worship's going to be different in my church. The prayer's going to be different in my church. Souls are going to be added to the kingdom. I'm going by the grace of God to affect spiritual change. It's going to take courage. It's going to take boldness. It's going to take confidence. It's going to take faith. It's going to take humility. It's going to take consecration. But I'm challenging you today by the word of the Lord. Amen. To give yourself for the glory of God. I'm going to tell you, the way up is down.
The way to be exalted is through humility. But what I'm trying to tell you, God is not interested in you just going through life thinking negative about yourself. God's not interested in you going through life and then just talking down about yourself. He doesn't want you to hate yourself. He wants to see your flesh as the enemy that it is. But can I tell you, you can take your worst enemy and you can make it your best friend. You can say, flesh, you're not going to win. I'm going to take you to an altar of prayer. I'm going to enter seasons of consecration. I'm going to go through times of dedication. I'm going to commit my life to the Lord. I'm going to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. But if I can learn how to do that, He's going to lift me up. He's going to raise me up. He's going to exalt me. He's going to anoint me. He's going to touch me. He's going to lay His hand on me. And I'm going to be used of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the Lord wants to lay His mighty hand on you. He wants to change you. But He wants you to know, He wants to use you to bring about change in this world. He wants you to be an agent of change in your generation. I wish some young people would get this word today in your heart to say that I'm going to let God have His way with my life. I'm going to be an agent that will affect spiritual change in my world. I'm going to tell you, you are a nothing and a nobody without God. And you can do nothing without Him. But I think you need to believe today you have Him. And that with man things are impossible. But with God. With God. Look out, world, look out. With God all things are possible. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's anything possible as you give yourself to God. There's unlimited potential. The sky is the limit. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, as powerful as God is, and as great as God is, so is the work that God can do through you in your world. I'm telling you, as much as He wants you to humble yourself, amen, He wants to raise you up and make you bold and strong and stalwart and courageous. He wants you to be able to look at life, look at this world and say, I'm here to work for God. I'm a nobody, but I am now a somebody by the blood of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of the Almighty. And I'm here to do business for the King. I'm here to win souls. I'm here to reach into the hell and pull people out of the fire. I'm here to let the anointing of God get on my heart and my soul. And I lay hands on the sick and they recover. I'm here to work for God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God wants to put His power, His glory, His anointing, His strength in you. He wants you to be able to say with confidence, as the Apostle Paul, I can do all things. I can do all things, not by myself, but through Christ who strengtheneth me. God wants you to be persuaded that you have something in you through the power and the gift of the Holy Ghost. By understanding the revelation and the greatness of the name of the Lord, you have access to His name. And by that you can affect change in your world. Jesus said, in my name they're going to cast out devils. In my name they're going to heal the sick. In my name, they're going to raise the dead. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to tell you, as much as you need to be humble and you need to be broken, you need the hand of the Lord to be laid upon you. And you need the power of God to begin to work in your life. Amen. You need to put yourself on the altar and say, here I am, Holy Ghost. Power of God, baptize me. Spirit of the Lord, fill me. Glory of God, consume me. Fill me with passion. Fill me with Holy Ghost desire. Give me a drive in the Spirit. He wants you to be able, while you're going to prayer, be like Peter and John, while they're going to the temple at the hour of prayer, see a layman that's expecting alms and be able to say unto him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. I'm going to prayer. I'm going to stir myself up. But on the way to prayer, I still got power. I'm somebody. I got something. I'm anointed. I'm called. He wants to bring you to a place in the Spirit to where you know any mountain of opposition is conquerable. He wants you to have such confidence that whatever you are facing in life, whatever you're dealing with in life, you don't have any doubt in your heart. You're going to be able to deal with it. You're going to be able to overcome it. You're going to be able to defeat any enemy because you are God's. His favor's upon you. His hand is upon you. And He's got you here to make a difference for Him and His glory. I believe God wants to give a revelation to this generation of who they are for the glory of God. We're going to see troubled times in our day, but we got a God that's with us, and He will sustain and prosper and grow the church through strong people. And just like Nehemiah was able to rebuild the wall, even in troubled times, so the Lord will grow the church and keep it strong in troubled times. Hallelujah. I believe God's ready for some young people to step up to the plate. I believe God's ready for some young people to rise to their place. I believe God is ready for some young people to heed their calling in the kingdom. Whatever it is that would cause you to want to hesitate today. Don't you be unsettled. Don't you be uncomfortable. Don't wrestle with your calling anymore. Amen. Don't wrestle with the dealings of God in your heart. Amen. Don't doubt what God can do through you. Yeah, be humble. Amen. Don't walk around with your spiritual chest stuck out. Amen. You are still a nobody no matter what. You become in the kingdom without God. Amen. But realize, amen, you're chosen. You're ordained of God. He brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this. And He's got purpose and a will for your life. That's a word for somebody right there. You're struggling. You're battling. God's calling. God's talking to you. And God said, it's time. Don't wait. To say yes. 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 A lot of you have heard of child prodigies. A child prodigy is a person who at an early age develops one or more skills at a level that are far beyond the norm for their age. A prodigy has to be a child, or at least a younger person, a person that's younger than 18 years old. But yet, whatever they're doing, playing an instrument, performing a skill, they're performing at a level that is much higher than their age. And it would be a very demanding and challenging work for an adult. But these children are doing it in this very challenging field that they are excelling in. They're doing better
than adults. They're gifted. God has touched their minds and their bodies in such a way. They are skilled and they just learn. They're like a sponge. They comprehend things so early. I thought of a young lady by the name of Michaela. She entered the University of the Philippines at 11 years old. She graduated summa cum laude in Bachelor of Science in Physics at the age of 16. She was the valedictorian of her graduating class, and she is currently a PhD student and professor at the same university. There's a boy named Akrit from India. He's well known because he performed his first surgery at 7 years old. He wasn't a doctor at the time. He was considered a medical genius, though, locally. The surgery was on the hands of an 8-year-old burn victim. He separated the fingers. He then entered medical university at the age of 12. And by 17, he was working on a master's degree in applied chemistry. Today, he is working on finding a cure for cancer. There's another young man by the name of Taylor. He's the youngest person in the world to build a working fuser, a device designed to create nuclear fusion. He built a bomb at the age of 10 and the fuser at age 14. In May 2011, he won the Intel Science or International Science and Engineering Fair for his radiation detector. In February of 2013, he spoke at the TED 2013 conference about his ideas on self-contained underground nuclear fission. I'm telling you, God knows how to put the right people in the right place at the right time, give them the right skills, the right talents, the right abilities. I'll just tell you about one more, and the list can go on and on. There's a young man by the name of Jacob. He's an American mathematician. When he was 2 years old, he was diagnosed with moderate to severe autism. Doctors said that he might not be able to talk, read, become independent ever of basic daily activities. But Jacob proved the doctors wrong when he was able to recite the alphabet forwards and backwards at 3 years old. At the same age, 3 years old, he was visiting a planetarium, and Jacob answered the presenter's question of why the moons of Mars are oddly shaped. He enrolled in the Indiana University, Purdue University in Indianapolis at the age of 10. And while working on his degrees, he's asserted that he might one day disprove Einstein's theory of relativity. And he is currently working on his PhD in quantum physics. 10 years old. I'm going to tell you what we need in this generation. We need some new child prodigies in the spirit. And I'm trying to tell you, somewhere it's got to turn. And I always believe that God always puts people where He needs them when He needs them. And He gives them the talents and the abilities that are needed to get the job done. And I believe what is needed to get the job done is right here in this generation. There's lives and there's the gospel. There's the power of the Holy Ghost working. I'm challenging you to give yourself to God and say, God, not because I want to become proud, not because I want to become arrogant, but I got a burden to see the kingdom of God blessed and prosper and grow, and I'm going to give myself, and I'm going to say, Lord, whatever you can do, use me and do it. Oh, Lord. Let me tell you, young people, you're young and you may feel like you have a long time to live, but you don't know how long your days will be. I think of one of the strongest men in the spirit for the previous generation, the one above me, and that would be Elder Verbal Bean. He still challenges us. People still listen to his tapes, and they listen to his teachings about prayer and the works of the Holy Ghost, and they read the books that was transcribed from those teachings. And I'm reminded of how his life was taken at just 40-something years old. And a man that was mightily used of God
in the works of the Holy Ghost and the operation of the Spirit. Amen. Thank God he was a child prodigy in the Spirit. They said at 10 years old, he would spend all day on Sunday in the church. He would go to Sunday school and he would begin to pray. Everybody would leave and go home and get something to eat and prepare themselves for the evening service. Amen. But he would stay at the church seeking the face of God, learning how to pray, seeking the mind of God for his day, his life, and his generation. And he prayed and prayed and learned how to know the Holy Ghost and let God move in his spirit, move on him, move in him, and move through him. I'm going to tell you, God needs some people in this generation that'll say, I don't know how much time I got, but I'm going to become a force that affects positive spiritual change in my world. I may get to live to 70. I may make it to 50. I may only go to 20, but I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to become a living sacrifice and say, here I am, God. I can be anything I want to be, but I want to be used of you. I want your anointing. I want to know your glory. Somewhere, things begin to change in the Spirit. Somewhere, things begin to change for youth groups and churches. Churches that may have been locked down in the Spirit for years. Haven't prayed souls through, or many souls through. Their numbers stayed about the same for years. Somewhere, something changes in the Spirit. Something changes in the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you where it normally happens and starts. It's right there in youth. I had one preacher tell me, said, when revival starts to happen in a church, you can see it beginning. It starts with the children and it starts with backsliders. I'm going to tell you, God's not going to leave our children out of revival. As a matter of fact, sometimes he's not going to use mom and dad. And sometimes he's not going to use the elders. But sometimes revival's going to be birthed through the young people. There's going to be a generation that says, I'm not interested in just hearing about moves of God. And I'm not interested in just being condemned because it's not happening. I'm hungry. And God put that hunger in you. He cultivated that desire so that he could use you to become an agent of change for your church and for your generation. Hallelujah. The church I pastor right now, for years, young people would get to their teens and they would walk out the door and walk out the door and walk out the door and walk out the door. But I remember just a few years ago, the Spirit of the Lord was moving in our church. There was young people that was weeping and crying and yielding to God's presence. There was young ladies that was, when the service was over, they were laying out in the Spirit and talking in tongues. And I remember the Lord dealing with my heart and saying, this generation is not going to be lost. Previous groups of young people, there might have just been one or two that survived. And thank God for it. Amen. But the whole walked away. I'm telling you, I thank God for the day when he said, and when I could speak it and say, this generation will not be lost. I'm telling you, those young people are already growing up and marrying and having children. And we got another generation coming on up. Amen. Where the youth group is staying and not leaving. Amen. And God's calling young people in our church right now into his service and into his kingdom. I'm telling you, I feel a turning of the tide in the Holy Ghost today. I feel something in the Spirit where God said, I got a group. I'm ready to affect change. Oh, I pray while I'm preaching today, the Holy Ghost would get on somebody in this house. I remember, Brother Weeks will remember, how that through the years at Vida Church, there was generation after generation after generation, walking away. Some would stay. Some would stay faithfully. But Brother McDaniel became burdened because there was too many young people leaving the church. He said, I want to do something. I want to do something. And so he thought, I'll start a Christian school and see. And thankfully he started the Christian school. And that's where Brother Weeks and I got some of our education. At least our elementary education through 12th grade. And after 5 to 10 years, there began to be a change. A change in the spirit. Where there was young people that were sitting on the front row back before. But they were just distant, missing it. Some were connected. I'm not saying it was all negative. But as a whole, the spirit, the drive, the move. Good church, good people. But he instituted something that started affecting a change in the hearts and the lives of young people. It wasn't between 5 and 10 years. There began to be a turn in the spirit in a new generation to where there was young people sitting on the row saying, talk to me, Lord. You got a plan for my life. You got a calling for my life. You got purpose. And on Sunday nights, boy, we had some Holy Ghost church on Sunday nights. As the Holy Ghost began to move, there was young men out there in the Spirit. Amen. Allowing God to move and allowing God to work. There was young ladies yielding to the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm just telling you, there was an effect of spiritual change. Amen. I believe the Holy Ghost is executing today by His Word and by His Spirit that kind of change in this place. Lift your hands and say, use me, Lord. Hallelujah. I believe that there's a Phinehas in this place that's ready to take a righteous stand. I believe there's a group of young people that says, you know what? We've let immorality affect our youth group too long. I'm ready to take the javelin. Drive it through. I'm ready to take a righteous stand and say it's not going any further. It's not going any further. It's stopping right now today. It's stopping with me. I'm going to become a force. I'm going to affect change. I'm going to tell you, he didn't just judge immorality that day and take a stand. But I'm going to tell you, God brought him and his posterity to a place of purpose in the people of God and in the life of the Hebrews that is still alive today. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the Lord wants to help some young people that says, I'm going to keep my body. I'm going to stay clean. I'm going to be a vessel of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to be the tabernacle of God. And I'm going to let God work righteousness and holiness in my life. Take a righteous stand. Take a righteous stand. Be a Phinehas today. I believe there's some Davids today that God is calling forth in this place that is going to be used of God to bring an end to spiritual standoff in your church. I'm going to tell you, I know what it's like to get in spiritual warfare, to get involved in what they say. It's like two blocked. It's like the battle is in array. Help me not fall, praise God. The battle is in array. Israel's on one side. The Philistines are on the other side, but we've been standing still for 40 days. And God's just been waiting on somebody. The enemy's been defying, saying, send me a man, send me a man. And when God sends a man, he laughs at him. But size or age doesn't matter with God. I'm telling you, God doesn't always send the adult. Sometimes he sends a young person. Sometimes the youth group is the answer. It's a young man that's got faith in the name of the Lord. A young man that understands he's anointed. He's got the hand of God on him. And he's got faith. It says if nobody else will, I'm willing. I've never fought a giant before, but I'm not going to let God's people be shamed or embarrassed or get in a spiritual stalemate. God has allowed me to be born to make a difference in my church. Somebody ought to just shake right now in the Holy Ghost. You ought to get a hold of your neighbor and say, come on, let's do something. Be a David. Come on, let's learn how to pray. Come on, let's learn how to move in the Holy Ghost. Come on, let's learn how to let the Holy Ghost move us. I'm telling you, the battle's waiting on a warrior. The battle's waiting on a warrior. The battle's waiting on somebody new to step up. It's going to break the stalemate. Woo! This may be the end right here. This may be the end of this message. I don't know. I'm going to tell you. If there's anything we need in this generation, it's a new generation of intercessors. If there's anything we need, it's a new generation of intercessors. A group of young people that'll get in the Spirit. And let the Lord pray through you. Let the Holy Ghost speak with tongues through you. Let the Holy Ghost speak to the spirit world through you. I'm going to tell you, young person, the only way to learn how to pray is pray. It's like riding a bike. All you can do is just learn to get on it. And it's going to be uncomfortable and you're going to wobble. But don't stop. Keep getting back up. Go back to prayer again. The only way you can learn how to pray is pray. You can't have enough good church to learn how to pray. You can't sing enough to learn how to pray. You can't read your Bible enough to learn how to pray. The only way you can learn how to pray is pray. You can get instruction and you can get direction. But I'm going to tell you the only way to learn how to pray is pray. You got to do it. You just got to get on your knees or sit in a chair. Get in a corner, stand, lay on the floor. You just got to pray. You got to open your mouth and say, God, I got to learn how to get comfortable. I'm not going to change my world till I learn how to pray. I got to learn how to get in the Spirit. I got to learn the operation of the Holy Ghost. I got to learn how to be led of the Spirit. And the only way this is going to happen is I got to pray. I got to open my mouth. I got to say it. I got to learn how to get in the Spirit. Talking to Ah, telling you, God will use praying people. Praying people will break spiritual strongholds. Praying people will turn their church around. Praying people will turn their city upside down. Praying people affect their generation. Prayer's the cutting edge. It's where God is working. It's where God is leading. It's where God is giving direction. Where lives are being saved. I told you about an accident I was in at 15 years old. God mercifully spared my life. What I didn't tell you is that just one or two Sunday nights before that, my mother was weeping, praying at the end of a service. Service ended and my mom couldn't quit praying. Service ended and my mom couldn't quit crying. Ooh. Oh, I miss her today. Hallelujah. Man, mom praying and weeping and crying. Sister Weeks went over to my mom and said, "What's going on, Sister Townley? What, is something bothering you?" She said, "It's Jim. I was living for God. My heart was made up to serve the Lord. Everything was going all right." She didn't even understand. She just said, "I can't let him go. I can't let him go. I can't quit praying. I got a burden." She didn't know she was interceding for my life. I'm going to tell you, you're not even going to know all God's doing when He's doing what He's doing. Just give yourself to God and say, "I'm just a mess up. I don't have to be a know-it-all. I don't have to understand it all. I just want to be you, God. If there's a change you want to affect in the spirit, I'm willing, God." I'm willing. This is something you can't make up, you can't make happen, but I want to tell you, the more time you're spending in the Spirit, the more time you'll spend in the Spirit, the more sensitive you'll become, and God can draw you into the innermost chambers of intercession where you can affect change in your world. I remember preaching a revival. While I was preaching revival, there was a pastor that became sick. He was ill. I was kind of uncomfortable. But I kept preaching revival. The pastor was at home sick. I remember sitting in the office one afternoon. And all of a sudden, I hear the spirit of prayer. And the spirit of travail in the sanctuary. I heard a man begin to groan in the spirit. I began to hear moaning to the Holy Ghost. I hadn't heard it in all the weeks that I was there. I didn't know all was going on, but I knew somebody was interceding for something. In the middle of that service, the pastor walked in. I was like, "Wow, I wasn't expecting to see you tonight." He said, "The Lord touched me. And the Lord's given me strength." After service, Brother Jim said, I just was tired of having church without my pastor. I was ready for God to touch my man of God, and I just went to prayer. And say, "God, I want you to touch my pastor." And a spirit of travail and intercession with groanings that could not be uttered began to go through his body. And God touched his pastor. He affected spiritual change. Ooh, God, we need a generation to humble themselves enough for God to use them.
Come on, we need some intercessors for children. We need some people that say, I'm going to make a difference in my family. I may be the first one in my family that knows the gospel, and I'm going to affect this change for the glory of God. I'm going to let them know God's real. I'm going to let them know God's real. I may have to do it without my mom and dad for a while, but I'm going to live it right. I'm going to do it right, and they're going to be thrown into the kingdom. I'm going to affect my school. I'm going to affect my youth group. I'm going to be the first one to make the dedication. I'm going to step out. I'm going to make the stand. I'm going to make a difference in my local church, a spiritual atmosphere. I'm going to reach this world.